Okay. Well, praise God. We are very thankful to be here. I must say, in starting out this morning, I have been quite excited in just looking into the Word. And getting into this article was very exciting for me this morning. And looking at it, again, seeing the glorious, glorious provision that our great, faithful God and Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, has made for us. And I just rejoice in that. So before we get into the article, why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord, once again. Great and glorious is your name, holy and above all names. We realize, we recognize that you are the Almighty God, and we acknowledge that through faith, and we accept our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and King, as Savior of mankind, as the only begotten Son of the Father. And in His name, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning, Father, and ask, Lord, would you guide us through this Bible study? Would you lead us? Would you teach us something again this morning? Oh God, impress upon our hearts your precious truth, that which you, as a Father in heaven, are, that which you have on your heart, which you are so desirous that we would get on our hearts. So Father, guide us, give wisdom and understanding. May we not do this in human intellect, but may we do it by the anointing and the illumination of the Spirit of God in our own hearts, first of all, and then that which is being used as vessels to share forth this truth to others, that they may also receive, and it may penetrate their hearts, and truth may begin to bring forth fruit in other hearts. Oh God, that's our desire. So be with us and guide us. Without your Spirit, it is in vain. So we ask you to come and be in our midst, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' worthy name we pray. Amen. All right. This morning we are looking at, again, the Dortmund Confession of Faith, going through a series of teachings on this on a Saturday morning. This is the Dortmund Confession, which was adopted on April the 21st, 1632. Also that which we oftentimes hear as the 18 Articles. This morning we are on Article number 6. And this article talks of repentance and reformation of life. I'll read the first part of the article here. I think I'm going to read it in possibly three sections, doing some discussion between the three. But I'll begin here, and I will let you know when we get back into the article. First part of the article here is this. We believe and confess that since the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and therefore prone to all unrighteousness, sin, and wickedness, the first lesson of the precious New Testament of the Son of God is repentance and reformation of life, and that therefore those who have ears to hear and hearts to understand must bring forth genuine fruits of repentance, reform their lives, believe the gospel, eschew evil and do good, desist from unrighteousness, forsake sin, put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The second part here is, for neither baptism, supper, church membership, nor any other outward ceremony can without faith, regeneration, change, or renewing of life avail anything to please God or to obtain of Him any consolation or promise of salvation. But we must go to God with an upright heart and in perfect faith and believe in Jesus Christ, as the Scripture says and testifies of Him, through which faith we obtain forgiveness of sins, are sanctified, justified, and made children of God, yea, partake of His mind, nature, and image, being born again of God from above through incorruptible seed. That's the end of the article, the references to this article. I'm just going to give you the references. I'm not going to go through them that much. I trust that each of you can do that. They refer to what we have just written, just read. It's in Genesis 8:21, Mark 1:14, Ezekiel 12:2, Colossians 3:9, Ephesians 4:22, Hebrews 10:22, and John 7:38. You can write those down or look them up and study them. Okay, coming back up here. We have a lot of things to cover this morning. I hope we can do it in our allotted time. I'm going to move rather fast, so please pay close attention with this, because there's so much to cover here, and so much documented in the Word of God on this subject. And I must say, I was just thrilled this morning. I don't know if we can get it all into one study here, but we will try. We'll see how God leads here. But as I looked at this, about the imagination of man's heart, and that he must believe the gospel, he must bring forth fruits of repentance. He must reform, they must reform their lives, believe the gospel, eschew evil, do good, desist from unrighteousness, forsake sin, put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man. How can this be? What is it really saying? In other words, we must be converted. We must have a changed life. There must be a turning around. And as I looked at this, you know, I have often described conversion as this. And I've depicted this in actually displaying it in walking in one direction and then turning around and walking in the exact opposite direction. That is a clear expression of what conversion is really about. It means a turning around. It means a different direction in life. It means a change of direction. Well, this comes forth because we have to understand, why are we going in a certain direction in life? It's because that's where the direction our heart is in. And that is that man's heart that is evil from his youth. That's the direction our heart is in. And we only walk in that which our heart is in. And what we really need to understand is that there needs to be a change of heart. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but if you look at the root word of repentance, if you go back into the Greek and study out that word, it literally talks about a change of mind, to change your concept of yourself and who you are and how you think about things, to come to grips with reality is basically what it is. Come back to reality, change your mind about who God is, who you are. You don't have it all together. You don't have life in your own hands. You're under the Almighty God. He holds your life in your hands. As the Bible says, ye are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. So that's what we need. We need to be converted. We need to change life. You know, Jesus Christ came into this world not just to throw some kind of blanket of approval over man's sin, but to change their lives. When John the Baptist started preaching, there in Matthew 3, verse 10, he says this way, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is now the new covenant. We have to understand, John here is entering into an introduction into the new covenant. In the old, it was to do this, do that, you fulfill the law, or you try to walk in the law, you do all these things, and it really didn't touch so much as to where the heart was. As we understand, Jesus spoke again and again of these things. There in Matthew 5, that it has been said, you know, that thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Those kind of things changes things around to where, now John here is saying, and now also, and I should say change things around, it just takes it a whole lot deeper. John put it this way, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. You see how much deeper it goes. It's not just dealing with the outward fruit of the tree. They've always, you know, through the old dispensation, they were trying to keep that good fruit on the tree, keep that good fruit on the tree. But the root was of the sin of Adam. The root was the old man. The root was that evil heart. Jesus said he's coming to lay the axe to the root. I'm sorry, John said that. That Jesus Christ is come and the axe is going to be laid at the root of the tree, right down in the core of the heart where these things are coming from. We need to go to the heart. And that's what we mean, and I talked about that last Saturday morning, about the new covenant, the new testament, what God has promised that he will do. God is no longer just dealing with the outward performance of man, but now he wants to go to the root of the problem, the heart. That's what we find throughout the new dispensation, the new covenant, is going to the heart of man, going to your heart and my heart, and just see what really is there and what needs to happen. Now, in this article here, we find that it states this way. eschew evil and do good, desist from unrighteousness, forsake sin. Now, how can we do this? How can this be done when all righteousness of man is as filthy rags before God, as the word tells us? How can this be done? Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. So now here we are. We are to eschew evil and do good. We are to desist from unrighteousness. We are to forsake sin. But we're hopeless. We're helpless. How can we do this? We cannot do it in our own. We cannot do it on our strength. Because as we try to bring forth some kind of fruit of righteousness, it's as filthy rags before a holy God. But Jesus said this, without me, ye can do nothing. So now what is the answer? How can man change himself? Remember, it must be at the root. How can you and I change our heart? How can we, what needs to happen? It's not in some ceremony or some outward act. The forefathers saw this very clearly. Isaiah, in the next part of the article, they say, for neither baptism, supper, you might say the Lord's Supper, church membership, nor any other outward ceremony, can without faith, regeneration, change or renewing of life, avail anything to please God or to obtain of Him any consolation or promise of salvation. Well, here is the answer in the very next part of it. But we must go to God with an upright heart and in perfect faith and believe in Jesus Christ, as the Scripture says, and testifies of Him. Through which faith we obtain. Now, right here it is. Through faith. It's that faith in Him. Through this faith we obtain, number one, forgiveness of sins. Through this faith we are sanctified. Through this faith we are justified. Through this faith we are made children of God. Yea, through this faith we become partakers of His mind, His nature and image. Through this faith, through incorruptible seed. Praise God. Through faith, we cannot do it of our own. But I'd like to just go down and look at some of these things. What does it mean to have an upright heart? We must go to God through an upright heart. First of all, just stepping back here a little bit, for neither baptism, supper, church membership, nor any other outward ceremony can without faith, regeneration, change or renewing of life avail anything to please God or to obtain of Him. You know, Hebrews tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. So, as we look at this, let's just take a look here. What does it mean to have an upright heart? We must go to God with an upright heart. It is talking of an honest heart. You know, in Luke 8:15, we read about the sower that went forth and he sowed forth the seed and about some went on stony soil, some went on, you know, shallow soil and all these different fruits that came forth. But in verse 15 it says, but that on the good ground are they, when Jesus interprets all this, that he said that some fell on good ground and they brought forth hundredfold. Then later on when he interprets this parable, he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That word patience, there is the Greek word hupomone. And that, the definition of that word is cheerful or hopeful endurance and constancy. Sometimes when we read the word patience, we tend to look at it as we look at patience and we say, well, you know, you sit back in your easy chair and you just try to be geduldig. You try to be patient. You just sit there and you just wait and wait. And we look at that word geduldig as someone that really doesn't do anything. He just sits there and he's, we would say in the German, I'm so geduldig. He's so patient. Well, this word patience in the Word of God is talking about, and like I said, it's the Greek word hupomone, which means cheerful or hopeful endurance, a constancy. That gives the fact of a persevering, a constant going on, enduring with a cheerfulness, a constancy, a continuing on. So there, that word says they bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit with constancy. They bring forth fruit with cheerful endurance. All right, what is it talking about? I believe it is talking about a transparent heart. It means walking in the light. In 1 John 1, verse 4 through verse 10, the word tells us this way, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, coming back to this, a transparent heart. I like to look at a transparent heart as being like crystal, and I may have shared this before. My one daughter, God revealed to me, I feel without question, the morning after she was born, I was traveling, and I was meditating on God and on his things, and we hadn't named this daughter yet. She was born early in the morning, and I had to leave at 4 in the morning and for a meeting. And as I was traveling, I was meditating on other things, and I was meditating on the glorious liberty and freedom and peace and joy that we have if we maintain an honest, open heart before God and before man. We have nothing to hide. We walk in the light. In other words, we are willing to let the light of truth shine right into our hearts and reveal whatever is there. And I was meditating on this, and I thought, you know, it's like crystal. It's transparent. When a heart is transparent, it's like a crystal vessel. You can see right through it. If you put a liquid in it, you can see what's in it. You don't hide what is in a crystal glass, because crystal is transparent. And I was meditating on this, and what a joy it is. And just like that, it struck me from so clearly that what a beautiful name for a child, Crystal Joy. And anyway, I called my wife and had a cell phone with me, and I called her, and we decided to name our daughter Crystal Joy. So if you ever wondered why we have a Crystal Joy, that's why. But I would like to encourage all of us that we can all have a crystal joy in our own hearts. We can have that joy of a crystal heart, of a transparent heart. I don't think well, I'll get to that later. John 3:19-21 says this way, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now we get a picture here, and I'd like to just paint a picture for all of us. It's like a vessel, a black vessel, a vessel that is in darkness. And you can put different colored liquids in there, you can put whatever you want in there, and you really can't see what's there. Makes me think of a man that had a black coffee mug, and his wife thought she would try something on him and put just plain water in it, and he sat down in the morning and had his cup of coffee and never knew the difference. You couldn't see whether it was transparent or whether it was black, because it was in a black vessel. And so he didn't know what it was. It was just water. He said he thought it tasted a little different, but he never noticed that he was drinking just plain hot water. Well, that's a little the way it is if we are not living in the light, if we're not living in crystal transparency. We try to hide things. Sometimes we ourselves don't know what's in our own heart. Furthermore, we're trying to hide what's in our own heart from others and from God. Well, we have to understand we cannot hide. But what a blessing it is when we get very honest and let the light of truth shine into our heart, when we allow ourselves to be a crystal vessel, and that light can shine in there and really see what is there. And what a blessing that is. It says here that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I just want to encourage you this morning. I don't know who is listening in. I have no idea. But if you are hiding something in your heart, I beg of you, because for the sake of the love of God, that you would somehow open that heart up and let the truth of light shine into that heart. Allow yourself to have a transparent heart where you can be open and honest before God and man. What a blessing that is. You know, we can see how much God desires that we walk in the light and in honesty and shun darkness and hiding. By the way, he rebukes the Pharisees for the hypocrisy. See, what we tend to do is, mankind in reality tends to walk in a hidden way, in obscurity, trying to put on some form of religion and some form of outward righteousness, but the heart is not there, and, And that's what Jesus so rebuked the Pharisees for, that they were like whited sepulchres. You know, outside it was beautifully adorned, but in their heart it was full of dead men's bones. That's where we have to be ever so zealous and desirous to get a hold of that transparent heart and walk in that. You see, the devil wants us to walk in obscurity and darkness, not being real honest with what is going on inside us. You know, those thoughts that you think, and you think you're the only one who would think thoughts like that. So you try to hide them, and you put them away in a corner of your heart. Then there might be those questions that come to your mind that you just don't dare share with anyone, because what would they think of me? You know, those thoughts, you want to hide. Well, if I would share some of these thoughts that I have or some of these questions in my mind, if I would share them, what would people think of me? You see, I know all too well what that is like. I walked that way for years. And I cannot describe in words to you this morning what happened and the peace and the freedom of heart when once I got out of that state of hiddenness, when I got out of that and I got a hold of transparency. It was such a blessing to me and such a joy that it seemed like, and probably if you'd talk to some of the people that run on my messages, it seemed that I could hardly quit speaking on that subject. And it's amazing because just a week ago, I was at a funeral. And at this funeral, I met someone that I had not seen for probably 12 years or so. And this young man is now a married man, and he came up to me and he said, he realized who I was, and I hadn't seen him for years. I had met him in Oklahoma about 12 years ago, and we visited at his house, and he said, "You know, Brother Melvin," he said, "there's something that you told me in that house that changed my life." And I said, "I wonder what that could be." And he said, "You were talking about transparency and how wonderful it is to have a transparent and honest heart and just be free. It'll bring such a freedom in your life when you no longer need to hide." And you were talking on that subject, and he said, "I was a young man sitting there listening," and he said, "I knew that I had hidden things in my heart. I knew that I was not being transparent." And he said, "From that day forth, I started pursuing to get a hold of that transparency." And he said, "I praise God today. As far as I know, I'm totally transparent. I'm open and honest, and I've experienced such a blessing." Well, you know, I look back at that, and I said, praise God, he had experienced what I also did. And it's what it is. It's letting the light of truth come into your life. It's letting Jesus come into your heart and life. It's letting that, putting down those shields of protection from around us and letting God really deal with our heart. Well, we talked about the good ground. In Luke 8:15, it says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." The very next verse says this in Luke 8, verse 16. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." You see what it's talking about there? An honest and good heart. When you walk in that honest and good heart, he's talking here about bearing fruit. He's saying that this ground that brought forth hundredfold was that of an honest and good heart. Now he goes right on. It says, bringing forth fruit with patience. He goes right on the next verse, and he says that no man that lights a candle hides it under a vessel, but he puts it up on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. And what this is really talking about is this. When you get a hold of transparency and honesty and you walk before God in that way, that is the way that people are really going to see the light of Jesus in your heart and in your life. Verse 17, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." I want to tell you this morning, if you're walking with hidden things in your life, I just want you to come to grips with reality. You will not keep it secret. It will be revealed. The Bible tells us that some men's sins go before unto judgment, and others they follow after. What that is saying is this. We have the privilege and opportunity today to take our sins before the judgment. We have the opportunity to be honest with ourselves, bring those hidden things to light, have them dealt with here, have them forgiven and put under the blood. If we don't, they follow after us right to the grave. Those sins will follow after and they'll meet up with us in judgment. What a privilege we have today that we can come and and bring those things down. Not for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, to him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And I'd like to relate this right back to what we just read about. He's talking about light. In verse 16, no man when he hath lighted a candle. I tell you, if you have light in your life, I have seen this time and time again, if you have light in your life and you try to hide it, or you go against it, I have almost shuddered when I've observed people's lives and how they went against light that they knew better, and they ended up going into darkness more and more and more. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Hear with an open heart. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. If you have that light and you respond to that light, you'll be given more light. God does that for us. And whosoever hath not, if you have that light but you hide it away, you don't have the ability or the willingness to go forth in that light, it will even be taken away that which you seem to have. Well, when once you become honest with yourself and God, then only are you that good ground that Jesus talks about in verse 8. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. That's what we want. We want to bear fruit a hundredfold for our Lord. Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Again, coming back to that light. Whatsoever maketh manifest is light. When once we come to the place that we are willing to walk in the light, our life will be made manifest. Those hidden things will be made manifest. They will come forth. But praise God, that's the only way we can be relieved and delivered from. When we have our lives just open and set free. In the article now, we also read, but we must go to God with an upright heart and in perfect faith and believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the article says. What is this faith and believing? What is this faith and believing? Trusting Him. This believing is trusting Him. If we are afraid, or if you are afraid to open your heart and seek after God because you are afraid of being deceived, then I want to warn you that the most assured way of being deceived is to not open your heart and seek after God. You know, I went through life for years and years. I was indoctrinated very strongly with a fear of deception if you would open your heart. I was taught very strongly that any kind of belief that has a Gewisterseligkeit, which, you know, those terms, I want to leave those terms. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in those terms. I want you to know we are not. I'm not teaching any kind of an unconditional eternal security. I believe that we can be secure in Christ Jesus by faith, but I do not believe that it is unconditional. I believe we need to walk with God. But anyway, I was afraid of being deceived. I was afraid of opening my heart. I knew I needed something I didn't have, but I was afraid. I was afraid of being deceived. But I want to tell you, I want to warn you, the most assured way of being deceived is to not open our heart and seek after God. Jesus himself told us to ask, to seek, and to knock. You see, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Seeking after him and opening your heart fully to him is the only sure way not to be deceived. It took some time for me to get a hold of that. But I realized that any other thing, the surest way to get to be deceived is to not open my heart. Oh, I see time is really moving on here. What about believing? 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. The question I have for you this morning is, do you believe the record that God gave of his Son? This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now it says that if you don't believe this witness, in the German it gives us all the same word, you make him a liar. So Virden mentioned Cygnus on Naaman, so he's got a Cygnus greater. This is simply saying that if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. It means if you receive something from someone who'll come and tell you something, We tend to believe that. Even though we don't see it, we believe it because they told us. That's the witness of men. Well, if we receive that, the Bible says the witness of God is greater. Then God is from Simon Stone. This witness of God is this which he has witnessed of his son, is basically what it's telling us here. Wer da glaubt an den Sohn Gottes, der hat so his Zeugnis bei sich. He that believes in the Son of God has this witness with him or in him. Wer Gott nicht glaubt, he that does not believe God, der macht ihn zum Lügner. Wer glaubt nicht dem Zeugnis, das Gott zeigt von seinem Sohn. Und das ist das Zeugnis, das uns Gott das ewige Leben hat gegeben. Und so his Leben ist in seinem Sohn. Oh, that's so precious. What that is really saying is if you do not believe that God has given you eternal life, you are saying that you know better than God, and in reality by your actions you are saying you are making God a liar. Well, we know that let God be true and every man a liar. We know that what you do, even though by your actions we might try to show or expose that God isn't true, his word isn't true, and thereby making him a liar, yet we know that the real liar is us. We are not receiving it. We're not believing it. And it says here, wer den Sohn Gottes hat, der hat das Leben. Wer den Sohn Gottes nicht hat, der hat das Leben nicht. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I think it is very serious how we take life in our own hands and don't trust our Lord and come across, or we do not receive salvation through faith. We look at our own works, we look at this, and we run it through our own minds, and we go by our own experience instead of just by faith have our experience. We try to establish faith by our experience. But you know, our experience must be established by our faith. Oh, we could go on and on here. It says, through which faith we obtain forgiveness of sins. This is the article again. We are sanctified, justified, and made children of God, yea, partakers of his mind, nature, and image. Oh, I'd encourage you, read Romans 3:19 and Romans 4:1. Romans 3:19-27. Just write these references down. Time does not allow us to go through it all, talking about the righteousness that was imputed by faith. Romans 3:19-27 and Romans 4:1-5. Romans 4:1 says this in the German. Was sagen wir denn von unserem Vater Abraham, dass gefunden hat nach dem Fleisch? Was sagen wir? Ist Abraham durch die Berge gerecht? So hat wohl Ruhm, aber nicht vor Gott. Was sagt denn die Schrift? Abraham hat Gott geglaubt und das ist ihm zur Gerechtigkeit gerechnet. Oh, that's precious. Abraham believed God, and that was imputed unto him for righteousness. Gerechnet. That gives the thought of an accountant. If an accountant sits down and takes account of all your expenses and all your assets and so forth, and he accounts the whole thing and says, this is the way it is. You're in the positive. You're out of the red. You're in the positive. That's basically what this is saying. Zugerechnet. It is imputed. It is given forth to you. It's something that is given to us by the finished work of Christ. Dem aber, der mit Bergen umgeht, der wird Lohn nicht aus Gnade zugerechnet, sondern aus Pflicht. In other words, if you go by works, by the law, then it is not of grace, it is of debt. Dem aber, der nicht mit Bergen umgeht, der glaubt aber an dem, der die Gott los und gerecht macht. Oh, what a precious thing. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That is very precious. Dem aber, der mit Bergen umgeht, I'm sorry, verse 5. Dem aber, wer nicht mit Bergen umgeht, but you live by faith, glaubt aber an dem, der die Gott los und gerecht macht, denn wird sein Glaube gerechnet zur Gerechtigkeit. Oh, I tell you, if you understand German, there's very, very precious scriptures, and the English brings it out very clear too. Just study again, Romans 4:1-7. All right, then in the article again, being born again of God from above through incorruptible seed. There we could go right back to John 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And I just want to encourage you to read those scriptures. What is it to be born again? It is born of the Spirit of God. We cannot fulfill a righteous life of our own selves, our own strength. We must give to God. We must sell out to Him. We must yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, His Lordship of our lives, and be born again by faith, looking to Him. The moment we surrender and through faith look to Him, He gives us new life. We are born of the Spirit of God. When we repent and come to Him, and first of all, change your mind about yourself. We understand our lost conditions before a holy God, and we come to Him in desperation and just dump our lives out into His hands and give Him our life. He will take us through. He is able. Praise God. This is what we can have in Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That word meet there means befitting or proper. He has made us befitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Praise God, that's what we can have. Translated, delivered from the power of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I want to close this morning with those thoughts. Pray that you would take a look at it. Again, I open myself for any questions, any thoughts. I'll turn the time over to the moderator. May God bless each one of you.
Thank you, Brother Melvin. A few things was going through my mind as you were talking about Crystal. And I once was talking to he taught optometry, and he had a crystal chandelier, and I was asking him about this crystal, and depending on how crystal is cut, it reflects light, and that's what causes the rainbow effect in the crystal. And I thought that, you know, of how our lives should reflect the light of Christ dwelling within us, and how that our lives should reflect the beauty of the rainbow, and that's actually light being bent that shows that color spectrum in light there. When also as I was meditating this morning, and the Lord had taken me to Romans chapter 10, and as I was thinking about different people that had come to the Lord, but yet they never opened their mouth and testify of what God did in their lives. And I went to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And I thought about this week as I was listening to some songs that was translated into the English from the Osmond, and as I was listening to those songs there, I seen a testimony of the forefathers of the Anabaptists, how that they were willing to open their mouth and testify of Christ, to go to the stake and die for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I thought, oh my, what a heritage. And where are we to open our mouth and testify of what God has did in our life, to be free from the bondage of the fear of man, and to testify of His grace and goodness in our life. And thank you for the message this morning there, brother.
Yeah, praise God. This is Brother Mose. I too was thinking there when he was talking about Crystal and being transparent. I just had to think back of, now close to 20 years ago when we learned the idea of transparency and of being completely open and have nothing hidden. Nothing hidden between husband and wife. Nothing hidden from the ministry. Just everything completely open, clear. And what a difference that made in our lives.
Amen.
And what a freedom it gave us. It just gave us such a freedom that is just beyond understanding. And it's just such a blessing. And so I would really encourage every one of you to, if you have anything hidden in your heart, make it right. Get right with God. Get right with your brother. It is worth it all. So, thank you, Brother Melvin.
Amen. I'd like to just share, this is Melvin again, with what you shared, Mose. It was such a blessing. When I first came to that place of transparency, and I realize that some of the things that are on my heart, some of these thoughts I have or these questions, I may even have wrong thoughts. And I told the minister this. I said, you know, I may be totally wrong, but this is what's on my heart, and I want you to know what's on my heart. And even though I was very open to the fact that I may be wrong, it brought tremendous liberty and freedom to my life. And then I found out that, you know, as I lived on, that they were true and real questions and thoughts that I had. Praise God for that.
Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.